Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you see him. He's Jeff Weninger, all the way from Ohio today, although he's formerly LAPD for about 33 years, or actually LA Sheriff's Office, and then he worked for the PD and retired as a lieutenant and as a commander over there. He's also the author of the book that's getting ready to come out called On Thin Ice. And you get more information at jeffweninger.com or onthinicebook.com. So check that out. Also a shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. Compliant Technologies, they are our satellite sponsor. So Gauls is our title sponsor, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. And hey, we love being on satellite radio. I think this is our eighth week right now. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching about 1.5 million followers right now on stream. And we've also got two bells. They're built on our online store at leoroundtable.com. And we are going to, I do have the codes already. We are doing a $20 gift card giveaway from two bells. That means that they're going to give you the first $20 you spend on our online store at Leo Roundtable. It was built by two bells, and the first $20 is on them. And is the coolie still up for grabs, Jeff? All right. And you get a free coolie as well. And if you have drinks by the pool or going outside, then you'll know what I'm talking about. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. Thanks for carrying our content, guys. And lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about? I can't wait to talk about the first one. U.S. strikes Iranian nuclear sites. Donald Trump declares Fordo facility obliterated. Man, we've got like five headlines involving this. I can't wait to talk about this. I'm so excited. Also, alligator Alcatraz, illegal alien detention facility proposed by Florida Attorney General. I'm surprised it was the Attorney General that floated this, but it's an interesting concept. I'm here in Florida. I can tell you all about that area down there. And then we got lawsuit filed against an indicted Kentucky state trooper over excessive force claims. Then we've got deputies justified in the fatal shooting of a drunk man who was pulled out a gun during an argument. Then we got Oklahoma City police release footage showing what led up to a deadly shooting of a rape suspect. And then finally, a double stabbing and arson suspect fatally shot by Prince George deputy. So we got a lot to talk about. So let's get into the one I'm excited about. RVMnews.com, which is Red Voice Media. U.S. strikes Iranian nuclear sites. Donald Trump declares Fordo facility obliterated. Now, if you guys remember at the end of last week, on Friday, I was saying that I had a feeling we were, look, I'm not always right, but I said that I felt we were 24 to 48 hours away from doing this. And Trump had just come out and said that some agencies, some media outlets got it wrong. They said that he said it was going to be 2 weeks until, and that's not what he said at all. He was very careful with his words. And he said that it would be within about 2 weeks. So he was going to, you know, make a decision within that 2 week period. It happened to be 2 days later. So let's jump into this. The president confirmed on Saturday night, and I happened to get I was just on LinkedIn, and someone made a LinkedIn post about, you know, we just dropped bombs on Iran. And I was just like, wow. And that was like, I noticed it 7 minutes after the post went. And that's why I jumped over the Fox and started watching this stuff. So Trump confirmed on Saturday night that the United States military carried out airstrikes on three of Iran's key nuclear sites, including Fordo enrichment plant, buried nearly 300 feet underground, mountainous area. It was kind of hard to hit. Trump announced the mission success on Truth Social before 8 p.m. and stating that Fordo site was completely and totally obliterated. And he went on to say that we have completed our very successful attack on three nuclear sites in Iran. In addition to Fordo, they had the Natanz and the Esfahan site as well. And look, there were cruise missiles being used, a lot of stuff. All the planes are now outside Iran airspace, Trump said. He said a full payload of bombs was dropped on the primary site, Fordo, and all planes were safely on their way home. Congratulations to our great American warriors. And I tell you, our military is awesome, aren't they? There is not another military in the world that could have done this. Now is the time for peace. It's interesting that after the show of force, the last statement Trump makes in all capital letters with an exclamation point is, now is the time for peace. This is a man, I believe, that truly wants peace. Trump addressed the nation at 10 p.m. That's after all this stuff goes down from the White House. He's got J.D. Vance with him. He's got Pete Hegseth. He's got Marco Rubio. And he took no questions. He just wanted to get it out there. goes on to say that Trump cited the regime's decades-long record of attacks on Americans, saying that for 40 years, Iran has been saying death to America and death to Israel. They've been killing our people, blowing off their arms, blowing off their legs with roadside bombs. That was their specialty. We lost over 1,000 people and hundreds of thousands throughout the Middle East and around the world. And it goes on to say that they've died as a direct result of their hate. So he's kind of set the stage for all the naysayers or people think that we shouldn't have done this. They should listen to this. The president said that both himself and the Israeli prime minister, that they actually coordinated the efforts to dismantle the nuclear capabilities that Iran had. And he said, we worked as a team. That was pretty exciting. And they kept a lid on it. I mean, if this would have been Trump 1.0, you know, this would have leaked out, you know, a day or two before it went down. Speaking to Fox News on Sean Hannity, following the address, Trump disclosed that there were B-2 bombers that dropped six 30,000-pound bunker buster bombs. Try saying that three times fast, Jeff, on Fordow. And they used 30 Tomahawk missiles on the other sites that were launched by nuclear subs. I love it, man. Both sites had previously been hit by Israeli forces. So Israel did a great job of weakening things down for us. And they allowed our B-2s to get in there as well. Trump has suggested, well, they talk about as recently as Thursday, the decision could be within the next 2 weeks. And of course, he did. Now, reactions are kind of weird. House Speaker Mike Johnson said the president made the right call and did what needed to be done. And then even John Fetterman, a Democrat, he also backed the move, saying that Iran was the world's leading sponsor of terrorism and cannot have nuclear capabilities. But then we jump to some people that are not on the same page. Rep. Tom Massey and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they criticized the action, saying this is not constitutional. And that's what Massey wrote. Ocasio-Cortez said it's grounds for impeachment. Don't make me laugh. A source close to the Trump administration said in the attack that they, Iran, have no defensive military capability. And listen to this, they have no allies to help them out. The Russians, Chinese, and the North Koreans, they've all told them that, hey, you're on your own. And just to kind of go with some of the other headlines, Operation Midnight Hammer, which is what was called, the Pentagon reveals strike details on Iranian nuclear sites. It says Trump warns of far greater strikes if Iran rejects peace after nuclear sites obliterated. Also, the far left is melting down over Trump bombing world's number one state sponsor of terror. And ex-Obama official defends Iran. Death to America chants are just misunderstood, is what he said. So, that's what we got. I only left with 4 minutes before we take our first commercial break. So I apologize, Jeff, but I don't know if you were excited as me or if you even found out Sunday morning or Saturday night when this thing went down, but I'm kind of curious.
I actually found out on Saturday night, and I was at the summer solstice, and I was at a summer solstice party. We were all, everybody there was wearing white. So it actually ended up being the topic of conversation throughout the end.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. So
what was the read? If you read the room, what was the flow of the feelings on this going down? Was it mixed or?
I think unanimously people felt that absolutely recognize the importance that Iran does not obtain the capabilities to have nuclear power and to be a threat from a nuclear perspective, and that they are a terrorist country and that they are something to be of concern. Those that are aware of things, you know, like you have the, the one thing is people are talking about this is unconstitutional, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, the Constitution, in Article 1 of the Constitution, that's what gives Congress the power to declare war. But Article 2 establishes that the president is the commander in chief of the armed forces. So it's kind of muddy on that topic, and it's never really been addressed. But every president on both sides of the aisle have basically said, have done it before. And, you know, so then a lot of people cite that, 1973, there was the war powers resolution that was supposed to give some of this power back to Congress, because this was following the Vietnam War, and they felt that the president overstepped, his authority in escalating that war, which, or it actually wasn't a war. What was it? A conflict, I think they called it. So the bottom line is that's all just unresolved. And, but it seems to me, that it was appropriate for Trump to take the actions that he did. It is a concern that they can obtain the nuclear abilities to be a threat in the future. So that had to be addressed. And we had this small window. I mean, this has been going on for decades, and the opportunity presented itself, and to balk on it, you may never have this opportunity again to have this level of deterrence and damaging their ability to escalate their nuclear capabilities. So it seems like it was a pretty astute decision, which took some courage to make. That being said, it'll be interesting to see what type of pushback we're going to get from Iran, as well as their supporters. And that's what concerns me the most, is what we're going to see occur here in the next few weeks, next few months, in regards to the escalation of things. And, you know, we can perhaps talk about that further after the break that's coming up.
Yeah, agreed. I do know that there are shots of them trucks 2 days before the hit of moving some of their enriched uranium out of the area and stuff. But we'll cover some more when we get back, guys. Time for a first commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from just about any place, right? Especially when you go online. But I want to remind everybody about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when it comes to looking for gear, guys, please support a title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com, and they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a radio code where you get 15% off. It's Radio 15. Go to Gauls.com, type in Radio 15. They get 15% off your next purchase until June the 30th at Gauls.com. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. Again, that is Gauls.com, and the radio code is Radio 15. They get 15% off. Gauls.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Wininger, also the author of the book coming out, On Thin Ice. You get more information at JeffWininger.com or OnThinIceBook.com. We've been talking about the news of the weekend, and it's made my month. You know, we have dropped bombs on the nuclear facilities for Iran. And just before the commercial break, I went ahead and threw out there that we have reason to believe that at least at the Fordo site that they had taken some of the uranium off-site, the facilities destroyed, we believe. We suspect that they have that at secure locations. But Jeff, I know there's plenty more to talk about. And, you know, if you have the enriched uranium, which I know that we've given them some in the past, along with billions of dollars, unfortunately, and we've helped them finance their terrorism, funding. But that said, they need a facility to be able to put the stuff together. So the enriched uranium is still an issue. I don't know if there's any great solution for that, but you have control of the conch now. It's up to you, Jeff, to solve the problems.
I don't know if I have the expertise for that, but really we can claim absolute success and destruction of these facilities and stuff. But truth be told, until you put troops on the ground to go in and inspect, we really don't know.
And people don't like to hear that.
Yeah, but it's
they don't want boots on the ground.
Reality. Yeah, they don't. But that the reality is we need to go in and see exactly how effective it was. By all intents and purposes, it appears that the destruction was effective and accomplished the goal. But I think that has yet to be seen, to be honest. Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. The reality is from a law enforcement perspective here, domestically, what does this sort of thing mean? Because every time that we have any type of military action that we're engaged in, Like the last time with that was in 2020 with the Soleimani issue. There was a raise in the escalation of risk here in the United States. And Iran has the abilities, you know, to hit us with, you know, the cyber abilities and to hit our electrical grids and things like that, which could be devastating. So, you know, really it's incumbent upon law enforcement domestically to be on point. And it's all about obtaining the intelligence. And we get intelligence from different sources, you know, open source intelligence. And the larger agencies like the, you know, the LAPD and the NYPD, they have very robust intelligence and counterterrorism bureaus that are in the forefront of getting all this information. But the key is getting that information where you get it from open source, which is like, you know, websites and, you know, platforms where people are sharing communication and things, identifying people there. Because if you think about it, yeah, we have Iran, and you may get backed, like Iran-backed groups like Hezbollah and stuff that may be given direction to escalate not only here domestically in the United States, but in allied countries. But what really I find the most concerning are these one-off individuals that are radicalized that will take actions just on their own. And we've seen these sorts of things. You just don't have to go too far back. Look at New Orleans on January 1st, you know, from a global standpoint, one of the terrorist type acts that is on the most significant increase is that in which a vehicle is being used, because it's easy to access, it's easy to use, it's very effective, and it's not difficult to find targets, soft targets to be effective. So there's those kinds of things from a law enforcement standpoint here in the United States that actually is kind of concerns me, in that we can't ignore what's going on internationally, because what happens internationally this day and age with technology and all of that is impacting us here in this country. And as law enforcement agencies, we have to be in the front of this. And the key for the general citizen is this human intel. You know, if you see something that looks out of place, say something. And because it's, you know, we have these you know, one piece of information in of itself in a silo in the vacuum may not mean anything. But when you take that and you're able to collectively look at all of the information, it's kind of like, it's called data fusion is what it's called. And they put it all together, you can get a better picture of what the actual threat assessments may be and where we need to be taking counterterrorism measures immediately to prevent something from occurring. So, you know, that's really an issue. Because it's concerning when you look at law enforcement nationwide. 70% of law enforcement agencies police about populations of 10,000 or less, so they lack resources. You know, I never realized until after I retired how lucky I was to work for an organization that was so resource rich and had these internal intelligence gathering mechanisms that in sharing with other entities, because it's all about obtaining the information, evaluating it, and sharing it. That's the key.
Well, I'm glad you went here, because I was going to close this segment out talking about, you know, when they passed LEOSA, the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, a lot of guys know it by HR 218. You know, they passed that for situations like this. They want a lot of, I mean, look, LEOSA also covers actives, but when you're retired former law enforcement, when you leave on good terms, that you can carry anywhere in the country or territories. Guys, this is our moment where everywhere we go, if you're capable of carrying under LEOSA, you need to do it, in my opinion. And, you know, if you don't, unless there's a reason why, you really need to. And this is situations like this. If you're somewhere publicly and something's going to be going down, maybe God's putting you in that position and that situation for a purpose to be able to neutralize that threat. But it's even like Jeff just said, it's even becoming more important now because we're expecting something to come as a result of what we just did. But guys, we got 4 seconds, commercial break. Here we go. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And hey, you know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yeah, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminates weapon confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up, undercover operations on June the 25th. You can sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. I'm Chip DeBlock, your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. And we've been talking about, oh, that's right, there was some bomb dropping over the weekend on Iran, and we took out 3 nuclear facilities. And Trump is wanting peace, you know, after this show of force. And we could have done a lot more. But he's hoping that there will be peace in the region. Anyhow, we've been kind of dissecting this, and we, at the close of this, we were bringing up about, be prepared, expect there to be some retaliatory stuff going on from Iran. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow. Jeff just pointed out that we got the 4th of July coming up. If I was them, I'd be thinking about what an opportunity that would be to, if I was going to pick a date, that would certainly be high on the list. And we're talking about carrying under LEOSA, the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, for active and retired LEOs. Everywhere you go, guys, you need to be packing and watching. I mean, everywhere I go. And my wife does not like to go in a lot of places anymore where there's like a lot of people and stuff. She's always worried about the stuff. And me, I'm just, you know, it kind of, you know, excites me a little bit. I kind of, you know, I'm sure I'm like, you know, heads on a swivel. You know, you're picking up on things, especially in parking lots. You know, you try to pick things up really, really early. But, you know, it's kind of ingrained in us being very, very observant, things that we, you know, reading. There's just things you don't even think about. You just notice things. My wife sees something and I'm telling her to get into switch lanes, and she's on my case about not wanting to do it. And I'm seeing something a quarter of a mile up the road that's going on, and I don't want to be anywhere around it when this individual is doing what they're doing. And you just notice things, and you don't even, you know, Jeff, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, the reality is that when intelligence and counterterrorism efforts are successful, general public doesn't hear about it. Yeah. And that's a reality. And when I was with the LAPD after 9/11, I was in a position where I was part of the counterterrorism efforts. And it was shocking and quite scary to know all of the threats that actually were thwarted that the general public never knows about. And that's because that's what we do as law enforcement officers. That's our responsibility to identify through intelligence and then take the measures necessary through counterterrorism efforts to prevent things from occurring and allow the general population to live their lives to their fullest and not worry about what's going on. So although there needs to be a balance in what they need to know relative to making decisions for themselves, for their own safety, and those decisions are made when the time comes. But by and large, the general population does not know what actually is going on.
Yeah, you're right. Well, guys, are you ready to move on, Lieutenant Jeff?
Yep.
All right, guys. All right. Be vigilant, guys. Pay attention over the next few weeks. You know, we've got a, let me just, You know, I'm gonna skip over the Alcatraz one. Just to, I want to make sure that we get some videos under our belt on this one. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. We've got lawsuit filed against an indicted Kentucky state trooper over excessive force claim.
I ain't got to get out of here.
Yes, you do, because I got probable cause to search vehicle now.
Why?
Because he said there's a roach in the car. See, when I step out of the car, I'm at the forcefully removing from the car. And if you don't comply, you will be placed under arrest for disorderly conduct and obstructing governmental operations. So step out of the vehicle now. Don't reach around inside the vehicle. Step out of the vehicle.
Fuck you, man.
Now, you want to go to jail? Keep it up.
I'm not scared of jail. Here.
Well, okay. Well, I can oblige you on that.
What are you doing?
Hey, don't reach for anything. Do you understand that?
I don't.
Drop what you got in your hands.
No, I'm videotaping this shit. That's fine.
You're under arrest.
For what?
Get on the ground. You're under arrest. Turn around, get on the ground, you're gonna get it again. Get on the ground.
I'm on the ground, you
You're gonna get it again. Lay on your belly.
I'm on the ground.
Lay on your belly.
Damn.
Lay on your belly. Put your hands behind your back.
The fuck?
Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back.
I can't.
Put your hands behind your back.
I can't. You fucked up, man.
Put your hands behind
you
your back.
Motherfucker, man.
Put your hands behind your back.
Okay.
Put your hands behind
okay.
your back. Put your hands behind
okay.
your back.
Okay. Okay.
Put your hands behind
okay,
your back.
Okay, mama. Oh. Okay.
Put your hands behind your back.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
What's
put them behind
your,
your
problem,
back.
Man?
Put your hand behind
what
your back.
What the fuck is your deal, man?
Put your hand behind your back.
They are.
Dude, you're going to get lit up again.
They are behind my back.
All the way behind your back.
Okay.
All the way.
Hands off.
Don't move.
The fuck is your problem?
Don't move.
I'm not moving.
Don't you move, bub.
I'm not. What the fuck, man? I didn't do nothing.
You're under arrest. I've already told you.
So we're going to be talking about that one first. And let me just say that if you're listening to the show audibly, your favorite podcast or radio station, please stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a story or a video that you absolutely have to see, you know, visually, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. Our producer will take a copy of the live version of the show and he'll embed every video that we talk about as we talk about it. Pictures of the good guys and the bad guys pop up as we're talking about them. It's really a pretty cool way to watch a show. It's not live, but it comes out at 9 o'clock the next morning Eastern time. And you can do that on a Rumble channel, which is called Leo Roundtable, or you can simply type in a law enforcement talk show and get that. So on this one, we got this lawsuit filed against this Kentucky state trooper. This guy was a spectacular trooper. It sounds like until you know, these are just allegations. So I don't even want to say until he wasn't. There's some allegations against this guy. But as Jeff knows, anybody worth their salt, when you get involved in the grease, you're going to get complaints on you anyhow. So I don't know if these are justified or not, but we're in Louisville, Kentucky. A former Kentucky State Police Trooper of the Year is at the center of a federal lawsuit and a federal indictment after multiple allegations of using excessive force. Now, I'm curious what Jeff thinks about the force in this video that we're going to be talking about. So one Hardin County man's encounter with Trooper James Wright, who's 30 years old, last year was caught on body cam video. Now, it goes on to say that here's some quotes from Dawson Blevins, the guy that had this interaction with the trooper. I've never been prescribed medicine before, and they got me on anxiety medication because of this, and I had to do physical therapy. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for the bad guy because he was uncooperative to a point. Blevins are bad guys now suing Trooper Wright following the June 2024 traffic stop. The incident was captured in two hour long body cam, but it was shortened down on the channel by This Is Butter. But Trooper Wright's body cam, it shows Blevins is in the passenger seat of a car. He gets authorization. I don't like the way the article was kind of slanted. They make it sound like the trooper was looking for a reason to get in the car. Well, the driver told him that there was likely some marijuana in the car. And when he goes up there, he's looking for like a roach, a marijuana roach that's in the car. So he asked the driver or the passenger to get out, and the driver is not being cooperative, not wanting to get out, and he's having a debate with the trooper about it. And the trooper finally has to tell him, look, you're coming out one way or the other, and I'm going to arrest you if you don't. So the guy reluctantly gets out. And then he even gives he tells the trooper to go and he uses the F word himself, something along those lines. So the video goes on to say that our bad guy gets out. Trooper, he tries to walk past the trooper. Trooper spins him around, puts his hands behind his back, asks him what's in his hands and in his pockets, I believe. And anyhow, the guy turns to talk or turns to address the trooper again when he already had him to his back. And at that point, the trooper puts him on the ground. And so at that point, it says that, and I'm going to go from my memory on this and also from some of the statements that I'm reading, but the storyline doesn't capture everything. So now our bad guy's on the ground and the trooper lights him up with a taser, but he initially goes down just because of the push. As he's getting up, trooper's saying, "Don't get up, don't stand up." And the guy's not listening to the trooper and he stands up. Trooper lights him up with the taser. He goes down again. I didn't think either the falls were extremely that hard. And then the trooper gives him a ride on the taser like three more times. And he's telling him, put your hands behind your back. The guy's saying he can't do it. And in the story, they were saying that he actually suffered two spine fractures from going down on the ground. I'd like to see that verified because I didn't see anything worthy of even a spring pinky finger, you know? And then the trooper ends up spraying him with the pepper spray in the face. Finally, you think he's going to give him the ride again on the taser. And these are all like 5-second rides, but he finally moves in, puts the guy's behind his back, the guy's hands behind his back, and he ends up handcuffing the guy. I could see where some people might have the force never looks pretty. So I can see where some people might have some issues with some of the stuff. Other allegations against the trooper. He's currently suspended. They're spelled out in a March federal indictment. It goes on to say that along with other troopers, or this guy's accused of civil rights violations using unreasonable force and lying about it in instances dating back to 2020. And Wright was named Kentucky State Trooper of the Year in 2021. So that's what we have. Lieutenant Jeff Weininger. Make sense of this for us.
Well, the key when you're analyzing force is that you have to use Graham versus Connor, which is objective reasonableness. Part of establishing that objective reasonableness is determining what the department's policy and procedures happen to be, and that the officer or deputy or whatever law enforcement agency you work for, that you receive that training. So I'll speak from LAPD's perspective. The LAPD, you cannot use the taser on somebody that is passively resisting or is being non-compliant. You have to have some threat of violence towards you to be able to use the taser. So in looking at this, you could arguably say that some of the taser activations were not consistent with the policy of the LAPD. And that's, you know, saying this was an LAPD officer.
Right.
So it would not be unusual with what I saw on this video for that to have been deemed to be out of policy based on the department's policies and procedures relative to the force in Graham versus Connor, because the department uses Graham versus Connor, just like the courts do, in determining the appropriateness of force. So not knowing what the particular agency's policy is, it's difficult to say. However, the fact that he has been indicted leads me to believe that there's a similar type policy, that he clearly used the taser when perhaps he knowingly knew it didn't rise to the level that he would be authorized to do so under the department's policy. So that's where I think he probably got himself into trouble, because the policy restricts him from using it in that way.
Yeah, and I know agencies, they have restrictions on more than one pager deployment or more than two. You know, they have a limitation on those too. But it's time for a third commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialists like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies. We've got forensic organizations and police departments nationwide. Now, here's an opportunity for you from the founder, Dan O'Kelly. If you've got your own agency, your chief or sheriff, he's got the deal for you. You can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's a great opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, the website is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by retired LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Weninger. We're talking about a Kentucky State Trooper, formerly Trooper of the Year, I believe back in 2021. And now he's been federally indicted, and there's a federal lawsuit, excessive use of force. There's some other Kentucky State Troopers that have been pulled into this thing, and we're talking about the use of force. And primarily of this, I think I counted four taser cycles, and then the pepper spray, you know, in the face on the you know, on the bad guy. And again, I call him a bad guy, even if this, even if there was excessive force on this. I always, you cannot argue with the fact that this guy was non-compliant, and arguably none of this would have happened if he just simply would have gotten out of the car as he was asked to do, and none of this would have happened. So he does bear some responsibility for what happened regardless. But Lieutenant Jeff Weninger.
Well, I got a couple of thoughts. Like I said, first of all, it's really hard to speak specifically on this issue because we don't know the policy of this particular agency. Like I said, the fact that he's been indicted makes me suggest that it's probably similar to the LAPD policy, but it's hard to say. That being said, I think it's ridiculous that he's been indicted. If he acted outside of policy, the department can deal with that through their disciplinary system and provide additional training to correct a deficiency to make sure it doesn't happen in the future. There needs to be this, there's this gap between departments handling these situations through their disciplinary process and then people being indicted, that this gap has gotten too close. It's kind of ridiculous. So under no circumstances do I believe what I saw to rise a level where anybody should be indicted for anything. My next thought is the glove.
Oh,
the glove would have worked perfectly here. Had he had the gloves on and this guy gets out and they're active, you go glove to skin, would have been over in 2 to 3 seconds. So here we are, an officer that doesn't have the most optimal tool under this particular circumstance, this type of scenario would have been perfect for it, doesn't have that optimal tool. And as a result, use the taser, which got him into some trouble. So, you know, it's something these law enforcement agencies need to be considering.
Oh, you're right. That's a great point. The glove from Compliant Technologies would have been a game changer on this. Yeah. And it would have been over fast. Yeah.
And think about it. You know, the cost of the glove to have your personnel, you know, each have their own pair versus the lawsuit that you have to, you know, pay out perhaps, and the costs of having to fight the lawsuit, even if you win it. I mean, it's that tool is there for a number of reasons. It's safer for your officers. It keeps them out of trouble. And actually, in the long term, will save you money as an organization and a municipality.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, great product. All right. If you're ready, we got another one that we're holding on to here, another story with a video component. So let's go ahead and jump over to, we're still at rumble.com. This is Butters, the channel. Deputies justified in the fatal shooting of a drunk man who pulls out a gun during an argument.
Sheriff's office! Come out now!
1041
Bravo. Come out now! Hands empty! What's his name?
Jim.
Where you at, Jim?
I see you. Go, 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 go. Get back! Here, here!
No, don't! Stop!
Hey, ma'am, here!
No, I don't want you to
come here!
I don't want you to
get around the house, now!
You to shoot.
41A31 Bravo. Ma'am, get out of the way!
Don't shoot!
He has a gun, a rifle! Move!
No, just try. Ma'am, stop!
So we're in Simpsonville, South Carolina, and it's the Greenville County Sheriff's Office. And these deputies said that on May the 4th, they're called to a home in response to a disturbance that's involving a gun. Now, in the critical incident report, the 911 caller stated that a 34-year-old named James Daniel Webster Jr., that this guy was drunk and then he pulled out a gun during an argument. So the sheriff's office said that the first deputy gets there and it's around 10:08 in the evening. And he thought the caller, for some reason, had barricaded herself in a bathroom and that our bad guy Webster was actually trying to force his way into the bathroom. So he ends up forcing entry into the home. Now, what it doesn't say is that he's kicking at the door and he doesn't breach the door, but the door opens from the inside and it appears to be a female. And I'm judging by, they kind of dither her face, but she's like, you know, squealing high pitched, you know, it's a female. And she opens up the door and then he goes in looking for the bad guy. So I don't know if there was an additional female in this house or not. I'm kind of inclined to think that the report is kind of, they got it wrong. And that, you know, that she answered the door and that, you know, this bad guy's still in there, but in whatever case, he now has got a long gun, or cop does, and he looks like he's got a light on the end of it as well. And it's doing a great job of lighting up the interior of the residence as this cop is looking and giving verbal commands for this bad guy to come out. And he even asked the female what the guy's name was, and he starts using the guy's name. And then they did a good job in the video. They kind of highlight in red the area where the bad guy comes into view, but it's just through a narrow spot, part of a doorway, and he's got he's armed. He's got a firearm, so it's really hard to tell what the cop noticed. And he noticed enough to retreat. At that point, when they point out the bad guy, the cop retreats backwards, and there's another cop that's there with him, another deputy. But I never hear the cop verbalize anything, gun, or anything like that, which I was waiting for. He backs out, and now he's kind of between the open doorway to the, he's outside, and there is another deputy with him. But you can see a glass window that looks into the house on the left side, and then an open doorway on the right side. They're very close to each other. So the article says that the cop is actually looking through the glass window. It's hard for us to tell on body cam. And when he looks through the glass window, he sees the bad guy who also has a long gun, and it's pointed right at the deputy. And at that point, the deputy, you know, shoots with his rifle through the window and takes out the bad guy, who they pronounced dead at the scene. So that's the way that this thing goes down. We got a little over 3 minutes. Lieutenant Jeff Winninger.
Yeah, you know, what I really liked was how the deputy, when he first arrived, how he didn't, you know, he wasn't over the top. He took his time. He walked around the residence to see what he could see, what he could hear, get his own observations to try to determine what would be the most appropriate action to take. And then he was gaining additional information over the radio as well. And that's when he went and deployed the rifle that he had in his trunk, which unfortunately too many law enforcement agencies require their officers to carry those weapons in the trunk, which is more difficult to have access to them than if they're in the driver's compartment. But that's a whole nother topic. But when he went to make entry, seemed to be totally appropriate. And then when the female came to the door, that's when I would have liked to have seen things done a little differently, because he had information that this guy had a firearm. Don't know if he knew if it was a rifle or not at that time, you know, he knew that he had a firearm. Have the woman come out, use her as a source, because we've seen it, whether there's a gun, whether it's a domestic violence. How many times you've gone to a domestic violence and the woman's bleeding from the face and you go to arrest the perpetrator and she's jumping on your back for taking them to jail? You know,
you just scared me, Jeff. You said, take her, have her come out of the house and use her as a, and you started with, I think it was a shield.
No. You take her back, you take her back, maintain eyes on the home, but you get as much information. You use her as a source of information. And then really the best thing to do is to place her in the police vehicle. And so she can't, because this thing could have gone, it could have got ugly, because you saw how she was trying to stand between the officer and the individual that was armed to prevent the officer from engaging the suspect. And this whole thing could have gone really sideways. So I'm always really, get her out. What do you have? You have an individual who you know to be armed, who's not compliant, who's not following direction, verbal orders to comply and present themselves to be taken into custody. So what do you have? A barricaded suspect. So it's always about slowing it down. It's about control and containing the location, seeing what you have in a methodical, systematic way when you have the time and you have the time when you don't have extreme circumstances. But the shooting was absolutely good. I mean, it was a good shooting.
Yeah. Can you imagine being on the outside of that house, looking through a glass window, and then all of a sudden you see you see a bad guy and you're looking, he's got a rifle pointing right at you. That would give you a pucker factor, wouldn't it? Wow.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Absolutely. So one for the good guys. I love it. Another fantastic show, and Lieutenant Jeff Weninger. But don't go anywhere, guys. We're still live radio. And I want Jeff to take the opportunity. He's got this new book coming out. It's called On Thin Ice. He's got it for the people watching the video portion of the show. It's over his shoulder. Can you tell people just briefly about your book and how they can, I know it's not out yet, but I know you're going to break that news on this show live coming up, but can you tell them how they can get a hold of that book or sign up and get the early release?
Yeah, you bet. You know, the book talks about my personal background, my professional experiences, and some practical insights into some things that law enforcement can do to be successful moving forward in the 21st century. And you can go to jeffweninger.com, or you can go to onthinicebook.com and get put on the mailing list and be on the pre-book order list. So
I love it. Excellent. Thank you. Gulls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, GunLearn, Blue the Gold, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells. Hey, guys, thanks for your support. We appreciate it. Hopefully, you'll be watching us through the rest of the week. We're during the lunch hour live. That is at 12 noon Eastern time. Thanks a lot.